Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's The Sweet Spot with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. If you are new to The Sweet Spot, welcome along. Here's what we do. We have a quick catch-up on what happened last week, and then we'll get to the week's tournament. Steve will take you through all the very best bets. So, Steve, first of all, we've just had a quick chat before we came on. You're very hoarse, aren't you? What's caused that?
Yeah, I sound a bit like Barry White at the moment. I've been trying to drink lots of honey this morning to get going. But, the trip to Yeovil for the FA Cup tie on Saturday has had an effect. Must have been a bit
Talk
of
us through it. I hear it's high drama.
Oh, it's an incredible battle. Yeah. It was a 1-1 draw. It doesn't tell the full story. We let in a goal very early. We were obviously a bit edgy. They took a quick free kick. We were sleeping. So we went 1-1. We won down virtually the whole game. And then in the 94th minute, we equalised. Literally the last kick of the game. 94th minute equalised. The absolute scenes. You're not singing anymore. And I'm not singing anymore because I can't really speak. But we've got the replay tonight, of course.
And
we're in the hat for round one of the FA Cup. It's all very, very exciting.
You predicted it would be a battle on and off the pitch. Did it pass off peacefully in the end?
Extremely nasty scenes, actually. Yeah, did not get a welcome up there. And, thank goodness for horses. I mean, we look at horses as racing animals, don't we? We love our horse racing. But horses can do a very good job at diffusing football hooligans. And a lot of Yeovil characters waiting for us after the game outside.
Oh my goodness, in the tractor park.
We were penned in for half an hour after the game while the police horses dealt with the hooligans. And we had to be very patient, but thank goodness for horses, because you put a great big horse in front of a football hooligan, there's only going to be one winner.
And, yes.
God bless the horses.
Oh, excellent. Oh, I'm glad it all got diffused in me. And I didn't realise Yeovil was such a hotbed of hooliganism.
It is, I'm afraid. Yeah. And obviously, we'll welcome them tonight to the Wessex Stadium for the replay.
Oh, yeah. How many will be there? Will that be a big crowd?
Yeah, you'll be pushing 3,500 for that one.
Really? That's amazing.
40 mile an hour winds and heavy rain is forecast. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's hope it's a bit calmer for the golf this week. Before we get on to this week's tournaments, let's look back on last week. We had the Andalusia Masters. You correctly predicted John Rahm would blow out. He missed the cut with ease. And in his absence for the weekend, Matt Fitzpatrick, second favourite, made hay. I think it's his seventh tour title. He's a bit of a winning machine, isn't he, Steve?
Yes, certainly on the European Tour, still waiting for the PGA Tour breakthrough. But in that grade, very effective operator and, obviously very gettable. The best way to oppose John Rahm, I suppose, was to bat Matthew Fitzpatrick. But he just had that little Ryder Cup blip, still on 0 points in the Ryder Cup through two caps. I just wonder whether there'll be a bit of a Ryder Cup hangover. But it seems to be going the opposite way for the European Ryder Cup team. They seem to be galvanised by the defeat and, obviously Rory McIlroy likewise.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like he had it all to do, didn't it, to be fair? I mean, that 17th at Valderrama is one of the great holes, isn't it? It's an absolute brute. And Soderberg, wasn't it, who came to grief? He had a healthy lead. Laurie Cantor looked like he was going well. And it's just such a tough closing stretch, that, isn't it?
It is. The tee to green it is. And then when you get on the green, you think you've got the job done. But Fabrizio Zanotti, the opposite way. I mean, we had some players floating around all week. Alessandro Cannavale started well. Eduardo Molinari got in the mix. And then it all came down to Fabrizio Zanotti. And if a couple of short putts had gone in, we would have got a full each way payout there. And obviously dented our payout significantly when he missed those tiddlers.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I don't think there's too much else to say on that one, Steve. Over in America, you almost pulled off the most unlikely winning tip, didn't you, with Colin Morikawa, who barely made the cut. Well, no, I say barely made the cut. There was no cut, but if there had been, he probably would have been in trouble. But he produced an incredible weekend, didn't he? But yeah. Rory got the job done in impressive fashion, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we mustn't grumble because we have to. The worm has turned a little bit. You just can't help thinking what might have been, though, because that's four runner-up finishes in 3 weeks we've had now. Yeah, Lagergren, Arnus Wolf, and now Morikawa. So we're getting close to having the absolute motherload. He just paid the price for a crazy 45 minutes on Friday, Morikawa. He dropped four shots in three holes from the 10th through the 12th on Friday. Either side of that 45-minute wobble, he was absolutely fantastic. And, he was 8 under par through 11 holes on Sunday. We're all getting very, very excited. And then it just stalled, didn't it, from hole 12 to hole 17, par, par, par. Six pars in a row. And then the eagle at the last minute, he lost by a shot. But we mustn't grumble. Aaron Wise got a little bit of place money with the birdie at last as well. So yeah, we it was a decent week, and we had the Sunday double, didn't we, on Golfwise Extra?
Yes, we did. Yeah, Golfwise Extra. In case you're not aware, Steve puts out on RacingPost.com and on Twitter at RacingPostSport. Fresh tips pretty much every day throughout the tournament. There's three ball tips and there's outright tips. And on Sunday morning, Steve went for the Fitzpatrick McIlroy double, which was good. I did it for a few quid. It paid about 12 to 1. So many thanks for that, Steve. It was a good week. Do you feel more confident in tipping at the moment? Are you one of these tipsters who when things are going well and the tips are going well, you find it easier, or are you pretty level-headed?
I think so. It does tend to work like that. You know, golf tipping, you go on really bad runs and then really good runs. I don't know what that is. Maybe it is confidence. You'd have to ask, a psychologist would have to sit down with me. But I do feel like that. We're out of the pandemic a little bit now. And I think, I don't know whether that had a little impact on me as well. But I feel really positive. Since Saturday, I've felt extremely positive. The golf was all right. I mean, we should have had Fitzpatrick and McIlroy at the start, really. They're both massively on the radar, and we can be a bit disappointed with that. But the Sunday double, nice 12-1 double. Yeah, I do. I do feel good. I feel cock-a-hoop at the moment. I feel cock-a-hoop.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you get me tomorrow and you will have gone through, then it'd be less cock-a-hoop. But I just, you get those natural highs. You know, I live for those buzzes. I don't know about you. It was such a buzz that, oh, blimey, you're showing that bottle.
That was lost. Too, was that too noisy?
That made a huge noise.
Sorry, yeah. Oh my goodness.
That
sorry,
was obscene.
I'll undo the lid.
I live for those natural highs. And 94th minute equaliser at the Oval was, honestly one of the top five moments of my life.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm buzzing. The golf's going well. The football's going well. Let's have it.
Great. Lovely stuff. In that case, let's get stuck into this week. This week's tournaments, we've got two. One in Japan and one in Mallorca. We'll start with the one in Japan. It is the US Tour event. It's the Zozo Championship. Tell us all about it. What time do people need to get their bets by, Steve?
That's a blimmin' good question. I think it's 11:30 p.m. Wednesday night.
Right.
We've got 78 runner field with no cut. Narashino Country Club, 7,041 yards, par 70, only three par fives, tight tree-lined track, lots of dog legs, hosted the 2019 Zozo Championship, which was won by Tiger Woods. Nice to be able to give Tiger Woods a mention again. Very soft conditions that week. Tiger put on an absolute masterclass of iron play. Tee to green precision is the key to success this week.
Okay, let's have a look at the market. And two players dominate, Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa, both best priced 13-2. Hideki Matsuyama is 14s. You can have 18s about Will Zalatoris. It's 22, Tommy Fleetwood, 25, Neiman, 25, Ricky Fowler, resurgent Ricky Fowler. Nice to see him back. 35, bar, as we always say, shop around for best prices and best place terms. Right then, Steve, we know all about the course. We know where it is, when it is, how many runners there are. How many selections do you have?
Oh,
if you did that on the tee with a wayward tee shot, they wouldn't hear you, would they? It wasn't your best, but it's understandable. You're feeling hoarse, aren't you?
Yeah, that did hurt. I felt like I had razor blades in my mouth when I woke up yesterday morning. You know that feeling?
Oh, goodness me, yeah, I do. I felt a bit sick this morning, actually. 94th minute equaliser went against my Palace last night.
Oh, never mind. Yes.
We played well, and that's what it's all about. It was a good display. Right, anyway, four selections headlined by...
Headline buy, and I know it's not very exciting, and I apologise for that, but this tournament is full of chaff, and I expect the market leaders to dominate, and it was a toss-up between Morikawa and Xander Schauffele. I'm going with Colin Morikawa. I respect Schauffele's chance. Last week, 69, 69, 69, 63. He said he had the biggest hangover of his life after the Ryder Cup, and it seemed that way over the first three rounds of the CJ Cup. Got it going on Sunday. His grandparents are Japanese. He won the Olympic gold medal in Japan in August. But Schauffele's driving was really disappointing last week. He was 72nd of 78 for driving accuracy. There was a lot of positive talk coming into the week from Callaway about how they sorted out his driver. I was interested in those comments. Schauffele was one of my men last week. But it wasn't evident. It wasn't evident. He still looks uncomfortable with the driver. And you have to drive well at Narashino, tight tree line fairway. So this is why I prefer Colin Morikawa. Either side of that 45 minutes of madness that we mentioned on Friday, he was absolutely superb. Solid off the tee, iron play, typically magnificent, accurate through the bag. Putting was decent throughout. He was superb in the Ryder Cup. He just carried that Whistling Straits form into the new season. I can see you're desperate to say something. You're
smirking. I'm just enjoying the new hoarse voice.
Do you remember Barry White?
Of course I do, he's
still alive, is he?
No, he's not, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he built a career on crooning love songs, didn't he, with his voice?
Yeah, and, he had the deepest voice, didn't he?
It's incredible. Yeah, I quite enjoy having that ability to go low now. I might
do you feel
you
quite
some...
butch?
I wouldn't go that far. I might croon
a bit more masculine,
songs.
You know?
Yeah, maybe a bit more masculine. Yeah. Maybe I should go and chat up some ladies. But
well, I wouldn't do that.
No. I got a lovely
happily
wife.
Married
I won't do that. No. I sound like I should be on EastEnders. But yeah, Narashino was playing really soft in 2019. We must mention that. So that was unhelpful for Morikawa. He still managed to finish in a tie for 22nd place. And don't forget, PGA Tour rookie in 29. It's all happened so quickly for Morikawa. It's easy to forget that. He had hardly any overseas experience. Then he went to the Dunlop Phoenix a month later and finished fifth in that. He nearly won a bronze medal in the Olympics in August in Japan. His dad is His dad is Japanese. Morikawa refers to himself as half Japanese.
So what?
Well, yeah, this event means a lot to him. Most players are sort of turning their nose up at the Zozo. Yeah, you wonder about attitude at this time of year, don't you? Motivation. You know, Colin is going there, you know, to make his dad proud and become the king of Japan. And it was iron play that won Tiger Woods the Zozo. And Morikawa is the best iron player since Tiger. I did that the other day. I keep punching the Mike Tyson glove. I must move that. When I get excited, I do that. And then,
oh, wow. Okay, well, that's a very strong case. You've got a 13-2 shot and three others, so I'm presuming they're fairly exotic prices.
I have, but 78 runner event with loads of each way opportunities. Yeah. I think it's a viable stake, man. Yeah, I'm going to go win only on Morikawa. Win only on Morikawa to keep some stake money left. Yeah, your next best is a 66-1 chance, and that's Takumi Kanaya, a 23-year-old Japanese. He looks the best of the Japanese youngsters for me. He was world number one amateur for 55 weeks. He won on the Japan Tour when he was still an amateur in 2019, and that wasn't just any older event. It was the Taiyo Masters. Which is one of their better events. He's won two more Japan Tour titles since the Dunlop Phoenix last year.
The Dunlop Phoenix.
We all love the Dunlop Phoenix. Yeah, that was Japan's premier event before the Zozo came along.
Back in the day, Steve, you know, back in the 90s, when the tours used to take a proper big break from autumn through till January, that was all you had. You had stuff like the Kenichi Crowns, the Dunlop Phoenix. What was the other one you said?
The Taiyo Masters,
the Taiyo Masters, and then a few Tom Noddy events down in Australia. That was it.
You're right. No, we're a
much busier autumn schedule now, aren't we?
Well, we are, but the Dunlop Phoenix still attracts some big names, and winning that so early in your career for Kanaya was impressive. He won a lesser event on the Japan Tour in April this year. He's finished no worse than 16th in his last seven tournaments on the Japan Tour. Three top fives in that run, full of form and confidence. Yeah, I think Kanaya can make a big impact. He looks pretty fearless to me. I know this is win a PGA Tour card if he wins this, but I think he's got the kahunas.
Brilliant. How do you spell his surname?
Kanaya, K-A-N-A-Y-A.
Oh, excellent. Okay, he's the danger. Who's the third selection?
Emiliano Grillo at 45-1. McIlroy and Morikawa getting all the headlines on Sunday, quite rightly so. McIlroy's 20th PGA Tour win, Morikawa 62 to almost triumph. Grillo deserves some recognition as well. He carded a fine around 61, and his closing six holes were birdie, eagle, par, birdie, birdie, eagle. 7 under par for his last six holes. He spectacularly found his A game on Sunday. If he brings that A game to Japan, then he should contend. He's a massive underachiever, Grillo. You know, he's a frustrating player to follow. But he's a PGA Tour champion. He's a Korn Ferry Tour champion. He very nearly became a Japan Tour champion in 2016. He lost a playoff for the Handa Global Cup. It's been a very tidy start to the season for Grillo. Narashino suits him. 30th in 2019. Still only 29. Give him a chance. Still only 29. He was 12th in the Open in July. So, I'm prepared to trust Grillo for an each way bet at that price.
Okay. Excellent. And finally?
Keegan Bradley at 40-1. Like Grillo, typically solid from tee to green, strong driver, second in the Valspar Championship in May, plenty of decent golf since, 11th in the Northern Trust a couple of months ago. Last week, 32nd and 78 in Vegas, not too exciting, but his putting stroke looked really good. There was some real flow to his putting stroke last week, solid on the grip, flow in the stroke, finished 22nd in the CJ Putting stats, which for him is great. If Keegan Bradley starts putting well, he's a proper danger man. His ball striking is always amazing. His putting is usually a problem. I think he might have made a breakthrough on the green. So, yeah, he's going to a course this week where he's got the 18-hole course record. He shares it with McIlroy, who's not here. 63 he shot in 2019. Finished 13th in the 2019 Zozo.
Blimey, very good cases there, Steve, I've got to say. Excellent stuff. I think that's it for the Zozo, is it? Should we move on?
I think we should move on, yeah.
Let's move back down to Iberia, the Balearics, no less, because it's the Mallorca Golf Championship. I like the fact they've called it golf, in case we were worried or there was any confusion there, but it's definitely golf. We'll get the market, and then Steve can tell us all about it. His old mucker, Thomas Peters, is fav at 18s. 20, Beef Johnson and Laurie Kanser. 22, John Catlin, Adri Arnaus, Fox and Horsfield. It'd be quite apt for Steve to tip Horsfield, given how horse he is. We'll see if he does. 25-1 bar before we get the selections. Where are we? What sort of track is it? Who does it suit?
Well, they've even got the name golf in the golf course style as well. We're at Golf Santa Ponza, Mallorca, Spain, 7,156 yards, par 72. It's hosted six European Tour events, but all of them were a long time ago. The 1998 Turfbunner Masters is the last of them.
Who won that? Manuel Pinheiro.
Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Oh, did he? Wow. Your pronunciation of Spanish golf is getting ever more absurd. It's sort of blurring into one vowel.
Yeah, I know. I
don't want
really
people to miss out on a tip because they're thinking, what's going on about there?
All right, we'll spell them out afterwards then. I can't stop doing that. I enjoy it too much.
All right.
But yeah, looking at the course now, wide open, tourist friendly, not much wind forecast. The modern pros are going to make merry this week.
Okay, how many selections?
Three, thank goodness.
Three, right then.
And the number
one. It's not, is it?
Well, be patient. It might be. The first one is Valco Nienaber at 33-1. Wide fairways, as I mentioned, four par fives to gun at, gentle breezes for the most part. Valco Nienaber can attack this track and threaten a European Tour breakthrough. It's been fantastic what he's achieved in Spain already. He's played three events in Spain in his entire career, obviously very early stage of his career. He's played twice at Valderrama and once in the Spanish Open at Club de Campo. Neither of those courses play to his strengths. Valderrama is an absolute nightmare for Valco Nienaber. He finished sixth there last year. He finished 49th there last week. And in the week before that, he finished sixth in the Spanish Open at Club de Campo. So he likes the Spanish terrain. And earlier in the year, if you remember rightly, we had South Africans dominating in the Canary Islands swing of the European Tour.
Yeah, we did. Garrick Higo.
Garrick Higo destroyed me, won two of them. Dean Burmester won the other one. I wonder whether we're going to get a South African winner on the Balearic Islands this week. Nienaber's last four European Tour starts have been really solid. I think he's settled on the circuit now. He's already got off the mark on the Sunshine Tour. He even had a good PGA Tour spin in June in the Palmetto Championship. I think there's so much more to come from Nienaber. He's still only 21, and I think he'll take a shine to this venue.
What price is he?
He's 33-1, double card.
Is he? Nice. Okay. So Valco Nienaber is the headline selection. The main danger is, Steve?
The main danger, the next best, the man you've been waiting for me to say is Thomas Peters, who is a big fish in a small pond this week. Four-time European Tour champion, Ryder Cup star, World Cup winner, still only 29 years of age, still time for world domination.
Chronic disappointment, perennial failure when it looks like
he might be listening. Don't dent his confidence. Very early in his career, we must remember, very early in his career, in his first full season on the European Tour, he finished second in the Spanish Open. He lost a playoff in 2014 to Miguel Angel Jimenez. And Peters has not played much in Spain. He's not played much in Spain since because these low grade events in Spain have been beneath him. But he's got a world ranking issue at the moment. I'm prepared to admit he's got a world ranking issue. He's ranked 124th in the world, so this is why he's here. But there aren't 123 players in the world better than Thomas Peters. You could argue there's no one better in than him in the Mallorca Open this week. You know, and the bookmakers are inclined to agree with me. Oh, yeah, Beef Johnson. We all love Beef Johnson, but he's not in the same class as Thomas Peters. and Beef Johnson would admit that. Peters has been playing well lately. 18th in the Italian Open, 9th at Wentworth, 9th in the Dutch Open. Last week he missed a cut by a shot of Adorama. That's not the course for him. I think he asserts himself in Mallorca this week from tee to green. If the putter behaves, then Thomas Peters be banging there. You trust me, mark my words.
All right. I don't think I am going to trust you. I back pretty much all your selections, but he's on my ban list. So that probably is quite encouraging because it'll probably come out winning. But I don't know. He just seems to have this like random double bogey in him out of nowhere, you know, and it just demoralizes me when I'm.
No, I know what you're saying. We were on him in the Dutch Open not that long ago, and he was looking absolutely sublime, like marched to the top of the leaderboard. You know, the commentators were purring over him. You know, he just looked like just the perfect golfer. He often does look like the perfect golfer, and then he made a late double bogey on that, and then it all went horribly wrong, and he ended up finishing off. But yeah, I know.
Let's see if your third selection tickles my fancy a little more.
Yeah, number three, final selection, Pablo Larrabal.
No, you've got to say it properly. You can't say that. Pablo Larrabal.
For spelling it in the bench, you've got to write it down. Pablo Larrabal. If you've got to spell it in the betting shop, but if you want it, if you're going up to say hello to him, you go hello Pablo Larrabal. and there's always lots of Spaniards on the leaderboards in European tour events in Spain. It makes sense; they're very comfortable in the conditions.
By the way, Steve, I get something off my chest at this point?
Yeah, I need to do that. But yeah, you go.
Is there any Spanish golfer who doesn't have a beautiful short game and wasn't inspired by Seve as a kid? God, it's just this cliche is just getting out of control now, isn't it? You get Richard Boxer. Oh, yeah, they've all got lovely short games, the Spanish. Shut up. Be more original. Of course, they don't all have a lovely short game. Anyway, carry on.
No, you do well there. I mean, Rafa Cabrera Bello, a good example of someone who rubbed a short game. I mean, he's as Spanish as they come.
Thank God you thought of one. I was hoping you were going to say name one that doesn't. Anyway, they can't all have a nice one. They can't all be inspired by Seve.
No, that's true. It's true. But Larrabal had a couple of solid efforts in his homeland in the last fortnight. 20th in the Spanish Open, 20th at Valderrama. Nothing worse than around a 72 in those eight rounds. This is great for a player who can be a little bit wild. He was 8th in the Italian Open last month. He's a 5-time European Tour champion. He's a regular contender for titles in his homeland. 2 top 3s in the Spanish Open. 3rd in the 2008 Madrid Masters. The 72-hole course record at Santa Ponsa is the aforementioned Tebas Theo is a flair player who's a great putter. And Pablo Larrabal, obviously not as good as Seve, but he fits that description. He's a flair player. He's a great putter. Maybe Pablo Larrabal can follow the example of Tebas Theo.
Okay. Right. Well, I don't know what else to say, really. Are we all done on the tipping front? Should we reiterate?
You were the one who brought up Tebas Theo. That was your fault.
Yeah, but no one pronounces it like that. You don't even open and close your mouth. You're like a bad ventriloquist. Should we reiterate the tips?
I finished his book last night. Do you remember I said I'm reading Theobald Theorist's autobiography? I finished it last night.
Yeah. Did you say boring?
I asked Wayne. Oh, it's boring. It's boring as anything. Wayne Mardle said he was going to send me his book, and he still hasn't. I'm going to have to. I think Wayne Mardle watches this. Send me the book, please. Send me the book. He hasn't sent it. He's forgotten.
Oh, that's a shame. You should go to a bookshop and buy it.
You should
get him some royalties. I mean, he's got like, you know him, okay, but you wouldn't say you're best mates with him, would you? Like, you do know him.
Yeah, not best mates with him, yeah.
Didn't you once vomit over him at the
time? No, I didn't vomit over him. I didn't vomit over anyone, I think. But
you were near him, weren't you?
No, I spilled a drink over him. I accidentally collided with a drink. I don't know if it was mine or his. And it went over him. He had to go and change his shirt. Yeah. Okay. Oh, maybe that's why he's not saying it. He still resents that.
No, I'm not saying that. I think he loves you. But my point is that you know him slightly, don't you?
Yeah.
So if he was to send you a copy of his book, he'd have to send a copy to everyone he knows better than you. And there must be literally thousands of people. So I think you should just buy it. Give him the royalties.
Okay. No, fair enough. Yeah. No, you're right.
Right, let's see. Who are you tipping this week in the Zozo Championship?
Colin Morikawa, Takumi Kanaya, Emiliano Grillo, Keegan Bradley.
And in the Mallorca Golf Championship?
Valko Nineber, Thomas Peters, and Pablo
Pablo Larrabal. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed. So you've got the big replay tonight. Anything else exciting on the horizon?
I'm not looking further than that, really. I mean, I'm trying not to think about the first round proper We got Dover away or Yate Town in the first round proper. We'd be favourites to beat either of them. So
where's Yate Town?
Great question, but obviously a lowly ranked team. You know, we'd be confident of being there. I'm confident we're going to win tonight. There's going to be one heck of an atmosphere in the Wessex Stadium tonight. You know, yeah, it's going to be pumping. And then, yeah, I'm just dreaming of Manchester United away in the third round now. You know, I think I've got every right to make dreams like that in my head.
That's the magic of the FA Cup, isn't it, mate?
It is, it is. It's a much maligned competition now, isn't it? But, you know, when you see teams putting out their second string in it, and, you know, for teams like Weymouth, you know, it means a lot.
Absolutely, certainly does. Well, listen, Steve, thank you very much indeed for that. Good luck with the tips this week. Are you back next week?
Good question. Taking each day as it comes. I don't think I am, actually. No, I think I might not be.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I certainly am. I don't know what's on, but if it's not you, it'll be Champ. So hopefully you can join us for that. Bet safely. You can catch Steve's reasoning, full reasoning with all the stats in tomorrow's Racing Post and on racingpost.com. Hope you can join us next week for another Sweet Spot.